Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
John the Baptizer came in the spirit and power of Elijah. He had one message: repent, the Messiah is coming, and he will save you from your sin. That message is still true today and equally urgent. Jesus is coming back soon. Are you ready? Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 9 and join Pastor Ray Viola as he discusses verses 9 through 13.
And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, and now Jesus is going to quote Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I, that's the Father, send my messenger, that would be John, before thy face, that would be Jesus, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Then Jesus says about John, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets prophesied until John, and if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. And so Jesus now says about John, he is Elijah to come. Now, notice that it says in verse 10 of chapter 11, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Jesus says that John was more than a prophet. Frederick Dale Bruner says, because, quote, he was prophesied. He is more than a bearer of prophecy. He is an object of prophecy. John is the prophet promised as the advance man for the Messiah. And then Jesus says in verse 11, notwithstanding he, well, let me read the whole verse back up. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What an astounding statement. Now, let me ask you this. You Bible students, you Bible theologians, would you say that of all of the people in the Old Testament, none were greater than John the Baptist? Probably not. Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Hebrews chapter 11. Isn't it amazing? Jesus said that there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist, yet he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And here's why. Because now the Christ has come. Jesus. Jesus has come. Jesus is going to satisfy the just demands of God for our sins. He's going to be buried. He is going to rise from the dead. He is going to ascend to his Father at the right hand of God. And when he ascends to the Father, listen carefully, the Holy Spirit, we'll talk about this in a moment, is now going to be poured out upon all flesh. Okay? Now, this should thrill you because we're talking about you. So try to wake up. All right? This should thrill you. Keep in mind, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would only come upon prophets, kings, and priests. it would be upon them temporarily. And after they had said what God wanted them to say or performed the work that God wanted them to perform, the Spirit would be lifted from them. Remember after David confessed his sins of murder and adultery. And by the way, there was no sacrifice for sin in the Old Testament for murder and adultery. You know that, right? David deserved to go right to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. But what did he do? He threw himself upon the mercies of God. And that's what you and I have done. So here's David. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You know what David was praying? David was praying for what you and I have today as born again New Testament believers. He was asking to be dwelt by the Holy Spirit. We never have to pray. In fact, I'm not even sure if we just sing that song anymore. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He's never going to be taken from you or me. Never, never, never. He'll never be taken. So in this way, we're greater. Not greater in importance, certainly. Not greater in stature. Not greater in holiness. But greater in the fact that the new covenant is superior to the old covenant. Okay? So you and I, think of this. We are now born again, spirit-filled believers and followers of Jesus Christ. Now, we'll get to that a little bit more. Turn in your Bible now to the Gospel of John, please. And I see that there are more phones and apps and, you know, iPads and things like that. I wish that they would develop an app where when you turn the scroll, at least it makes the sound of pages. You know, I'm still just old fashioned. I like to hear. I like to have it. I have it here, but I have it here. John chapter 1, verse 19. I want us to hear the testimony of John the Baptist. He's going to be approached by the religious leaders. What John says about Jesus parallels what you and I should be saying about Jesus. And then what Jesus says about John is just incredible. So, in John 1, 19, this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Now, in context, the Jews normally are understood here as being the Jewish leaders. It wasn't all the Jews, because all of the early followers of Jesus were Jewish. So these were the Jewish leaders, okay? These were the religious hierarchy. And so they asked him, who are you? Now, John was kind of an eccentric figure, all right? Here's this guy in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He eats locusts, which, by the way, are clean food. You know, and so if you're having a picnic this summer and a locust happens to go in between your hot dog bun or your veggie burger, it's okay if you eat it. It's clean. He eats locusts and wild honey. He's clothed with this garment, and he's girt about with a leather girdle. And they go, who are you? But, you know, I don't know about you, but as I'm reading through the Bible this time, I'm saying, boy, God just seems to always pick eccentric people, people that are. I don't like the way some of you are looking at me right now. I don't like it at all. You know, I'm a very sensitive guy. I want you to know that. Okay, so they ask him, who are you? And he confessed. He says, I'm not the Christ. They said, well, then who are you? Are you Elijah? No. Are you the prophet? Now, when they asked him, are you the prophet? Remember, Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 18, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you like unto me. And he who hears him and obeys him will have life. But if you disobey him, you'll die. Keep that thought in mind, okay? Keep that in mind? Okay, all right. So, John says he's not the Christ, he's not Elijah, he's not the prophet. And yet, he's prophesying of Jesus and telling them he is the Messiah. Now, if you're not scratching your head, they are. So who do you say that you are? Now, we're going to look at it in a minute. Remember what happened when the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah, John's father. He said that Elizabeth is going to give birth to a child who is going to come in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. We'll get there in just a minute. And so, as I said, John is the Elijah-like character. Outwardly, he's like him. His message is prophetic, calling people to repentance. And thus, John's answer to the religious authorities and the Levites was intended to show them that he was indeed a messenger of God, but he was not a reincarnation of Elijah or any other prophet. So they're asking the same questions that you are right now. Verse 22, who are you? They've asked them, who are you? Just tell us who you are, that we may give an answer to those who sent us. And notice John, this must have been amazing. He quotes Isaiah 40. In other words, John says, God talked about me. He prophesied of me. Isaiah 43 through 5, I am the voice. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. When did Isaiah say that? 700 years before John came on the scene. 700 years. And the prophecy from Isaiah 40 verses 3 through 5 provides us a fascinating insight into the ministry of John the Baptist. And so not only Jesus, but John himself and the writers of the Gospels realized that his ministry was the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah. Now, turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. The angel, beginning of verse 13, the angel that we will be reading about here is the angel Gabriel. He last appeared 400 years before this. So here he shows up 400 years later. He appears to Zechariah. And the angel said to him, fear not, Zechariah. That's always easy for an angel to say. Right? Isn't it always easy for an angel to say, here I am, here you are, we're having our quiet time. An angel shows up, go, whoa, don't be afraid. Oh, really? It's not like an angel shows up every day around here. Fear not, Zacharias, your prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son and shall call his name John. Now, time out here. I just absolutely love this. We know from other accounts of scripture that John and Elizabeth are beyond age. They're old. They're old. I mean, they're collecting, if there was such a thing, Social Security. They're deeply in love. Their intimacy level is maybe just days gone by, just a dream. And the prophet, the angel says, your prayer is heard. Elizabeth's going to have a baby. Well, I pray it's not a prophecy for me. Anyway, well, hold it. But anyways, okay. But wait a minute. He's got to be thinking, when do you think they prayed for a baby? When they were 60, 70, 80? Probably like when they were teenagers. They're praying. No answer, no answer, no answer, no answer, no answer, no answer. 50 years, 60 years later, the angel says, hey, your prayer's been answered, huh? Zechariah goes home and he says, honey, got a dozen roses. I've got good news for you, baby. We're going to have a son. Imagine getting a shower invitation. Don't tell me that there isn't humor in the Bible. This is serious humor. All right? But notice the description of John. You shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall neither drink wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. In other words, he's going to be taking a Nazarite vow. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Now, this is interesting because these are the last verses quoted in the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. But notice, he shall go before him, that is Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elijah. Why? To turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So here we see, I believe, John giving us a picture of what God calls us to do and what he calls us to be. It's simple this: a voice to tell people about Jesus Christ. You know, that's the primary reason why God gave you the gift of speech. It's to proclaim the good things of God, to point people to Jesus Christ. That's the holiest, highest, most sacred use of human language, to bring glory to God, to tell people about Jesus Christ, to encourage people to repent and come to Jesus Christ. That's the highest use. And notice, but how are we going to do it? John was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was filled from his mother's womb, because when he came out of his mother's womb, he would be speaking prophetically of the Messiah to come. So he was filled to accomplish the assignment that was given to him. You and I, to carry out the assignment of preaching the gospel to the lost, must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says John neither drank wine nor strong drink. In other words, he took a Nazirite vow. You can read about that. He took a Nazirite vow. So for you and I to be fruitful, powerful witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need the Spirit of God. I know that he dwells in us, but we need him upon us, and we need to be devoted. No room for lukewarmness. No room for half-heartedness. We need to be spirit-filled and devoted. And so it says in verse 24 of John 1 that those that came to see John were of the Pharisees, and they asked him, why are you baptizing? If you're not the Christ, and if you're not the Elijah, you're not the prophet. And then John said, I baptize you with water, but there stands one among you whom you know not. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet, I am not worthy to unloose. Notice how John turns the conversation away from him, and he points people to Jesus. Not only that, he declared that compared to Jesus, the incarnate King of glory, ordinary people like himself and you and me were unworthy to perform a task relegated to the lowest slave. Isn't it interesting? What did Jesus do the last night that he was with the apostles, the other disciples in the upper room? What did he do? He washed their feet. Isn't that something? He sums up 3 years of teaching. He goes, okay, this is what it means practically. Get on your knees and begin washing feet. Everybody wants to be a this or a that. How many of you want to be foot washers? Uh-oh, that stinks. But that's the proper perspective, isn't it? We're all unworthy, unprofitable servants of the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we've been saved by grace through faith in him. But here's the amazing thing. Yes, all of that is true because all of that is in the Bible. But you know what else is in the Bible? That God calls you and I unprofitable, unworthy servants, men and women of like passions, to co-labor with him in reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is incredible. That is simply incredible. And it says in verse 28 of John 1, these things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming unto him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. In that one sentence, beloved, we have the essence of the Christian message. Because as soon as John said, I have no doubt, behold the Lamb of God, those Jewish minds are beginning to twirl now. Because it would take them back to Genesis chapter 22. Abraham or Isaac are up on Mount Moriah. And remember, Isaac says to his dad, the fire is here, the wood is here, but where's the lamb? And then Abraham said, the Lord himself will provide a lamb. And he did on that very same mountain, Mount Calvary. No doubt they would have thought of Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. Just like John was a voice crying in the wilderness, you and I are followers of Jesus Christ, and we are called to point sinners who, because of our sin in Adam, are separated from God, and our call is to repent and believe in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. That's the message. Now, in the book of Revelation, which is a fascinating book, there are 29 references to the Lamb of God. The Lamb and the throne are the main themes in the book of Revelation. So, just sum this up real quickly. The cry of the Old Testament, where is the Lamb? The hope of the New Testament, behold the Lamb. The summation of the Bible message in eternity, worthy is the Lamb. Where is the Lamb? Jesus. Behold the Lamb, Jesus. For all eternity, worthy is the Lamb. That's our message. And then John says, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man which is before me, preferred before me, for he was before me. Huh? Huh? You know what John just says here? There is a man who is going to come, a man. But he lived before me. He existed before me. He was uncreated. He's the creator. And so what you see here is what the Bible calls that union of Jesus Christ, how he is fully God, fully man, yet without sin. John says that. Now, keep that in mind. He says in verse 31, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. So the purpose of the water baptism was to pave the way that the Messiah is here. Imagine being a Jew after all these years. The Messiah is here. And then John says in verse 32, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom you will see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Woo. Let me ask you this. Did you need to ask for the Holy Spirit to come into your life when you were born again? No, you were sealed. You were sealed. Yeah, I see. You were sealed. The moment you were born again, you were sealed with the Spirit of God. The moment you were born again, you were baptized into the body of Christ. Okay? Every one of us are. But this is something that the Bible talks about, of the need for you and I to be empowered. How many of you know that we cannot do the work of God on our own? The prophet Zechariah said, it's not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And so, I'm just numb enough or dumb enough or both when I read, I go, okay, Lord, give me the Spirit. Well, Pastor Ray, that's not for this dispensation. Well, then, okay. Yes, that's for now. That is for now. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.